No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me. And we got a crew scattered all throughout the United States today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information here on Just Plane Radio. So, look, I am Greg, your co-pilot. We have Captain Keith. He is in Wisconsin in a hotel room right now in between flying lessons or something, I think. Is that right, Keith?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, so we'll go with that. And then we got Captain Dennis. He's in Minnesota. He is
in between snowstorms.
Right. But he's just as cold as Keith, if not even colder. And the bonus, or to his detriment, he has no cheese curds to munch on, unlike Keith. So
gotta have the cheese curds, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of being in Wisconsin. And if that wasn't enough, which obviously it's not, we actually have Captain Jim from Jim and Smokey, our team from Sun and Fun and Air Venture. We have him connected in Oregon today. How are you, Jim? Long time.
I'm fine, brother. How are you?
Good. I'm doing all right. But I know you, we got to go to you first, because even though you're cold just like the other two guys, unlike me in Orlando, it's in the 50s today. So, yeah. You know, I'm freezing. But, you know, that's just me. And it's a relative sympathy that I feel for you guys, because you're much colder.
Well, I don't feel much sympathy for those fellas. They're inside.
You're outside working on your airplane? Is that what's getting you in a hangar?
Well, we're in a hangar, which is decidedly difficult to heat. And it's been pretty cold up here, down in the 30s, and rainy and nasty. So we've been out here since last Wednesday. And I don't think we've seen the sun hardly at all.
Oh, well,
it's been cold.
You're getting things done, though, I would assume.
Well, we are getting things done.
Yeah, because, you know, Jim and Deb have been working on this. It's an RV-12. Is that right?
No,
RV-7 kit plane. He's been doing this for the last few years, and however,
he's doing this by choice.
Well, true, he's doing it. He's doing it out of a love of aviation, and he's been sharing pictures up on Facebook. I've seen him, and you've made a lot of progress, it looks like to me, in the last 6 months or so. And you're coming down the home stretch.
Well, you know, it goes in waves. You know, sometimes we feel like we're making a ton of progress, and then, you know, you have a day where we didn't get anything done.
Yeah.
And it's not from not working.
It's not from not working. It's from Jim and Deb trying to stay warm. Wink, wink. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. we got in this fiberglass purgatory for about 3 weeks, and it's just, I don't have a great love for fiberglass work, and it takes a lot of time and a lot of sanding, and just, it wore me out, and I just didn't feel like we had accomplished anything. After we hung the engine, I was like, oh, we're almost done. No, we're not. So
okay. Well,
that was a big milestone.
Well, that was a lot of work, but now you're getting down to the fun stuff. And, I mean, at least what I've seen on Facebook, I saw the pictures of your cowing artwork. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. And your VIN number, right?
It's N number.
N number. Me, I keep saying that. Love how, what is it again, or do you want to say on the air?
I don't mind. About, let's see, 2 years ago tomorrow, I bought Smokey a 87 Mercedes.
Right.
And she's got a vanity plate that says "For Smokey," the number four, and then Smokey.
Of course.
Well, you can't put "For Smokey" on the side of an airplane, so I had to put "For" something else. So I put 438 Delta Delta.
Delta Delta, yeah, double D.
Yeah.
Do you say double D to the tower? Will you? You can do that.
I am
right?
Really looking forward to reading back clearances as 38 double D.
Oh, that is awesome! God bless them. That is just pure aviation creativity.
She's a good sport about things like that.
Yeah, well, she is, obviously. Yeah, they're a great couple. They're awesome folks. But, okay, so you're playing, though. So how close are you to having this thing ready to do some test flights, you figure?
We actually started sending in a couple parts for paint. The wings are done. Yeah, we have to still install landing lights, but other than that, the wings are all done. Right now, we're in baffling, which is a aptly named topic. We're doing baffling and cowling right now, getting everything to fit. The problem is that these kits are designed for so many different engines that the baffling is sort of like generic, and you have to trim it depending on what you're doing. So there's a lot of put the cowling on, take the cowling off, put the cowling on, take the cowling off. You cut it here, cut it there, you know. So
right.
But we're getting there, and, you know, sometimes I feel like, we're like a week away from bait. And then, you know, sometimes it's like, no, we're never going to get there. So
yeah.
Hopefully we'll be sending everything off before Sun and Fun.
Before Sun and Fun to get the final paint stuff done. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that. I'm hoping, but, you know, of course that depends on how things go in March. And,
right.
You know, God willing, nobody gets sick or any of that foolishness. So,
Well, that sounds like a good goal. And then when you go to Sun and Fun, you'll be like picking up some last minute accessories and that kind of stuff ready for when you get back. And
God, I hope not. You know, you sit down and do this stuff, and you find out, oh, we need, you know, $1,000 for landing lights, and, you know, and it's not stuff they tell you about when you're reading a brochure, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's a little bit here and there, but, you know, we'll get it caught up, and hopefully when we get down, we'll have a real nice, airplane to, you know, tool around in. I really would like to be doing a little bit of flying.
That is the goal.
Out here in our hangar, we got quite a lot of RVs in our row of hangars, so there's a lot of guys coming in and out, and Smokey gets all the rides. I got one ride in an RV, but she's been up in a couple different airplanes and a 182. Some guy, everybody wants to give her a ride. Nobody even thinks about me, but that's pretty much par for the course. So,
Well, maybe you just got to go out there and strut your stuff a little bit better. You know,
I don't have the stuff that she has.
Does the N number have anything to do with the reason she's getting a ride?
It has everything to do with it.
Yeah.
If I was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, chesty, long-legged girl with a pretty smile and an outgoing disposition, I believe I'd get a few more rides than I do. But I'm just homely and rather reserved.
Well, you're playing too hard to get there, Jim, sounds like to me.
Yeah, I did.
Well, I'll tell you what.
If it makes you feel better, Jim, I still owe you a ride in the Moonies, so you got that.
Well, you owe her one, too. She was just complaining about it yesterday.
Yeah, well, we'll have to get down to Orlando again.
Are you coming down for Sun and Fun?
I am.
Good. I'm glad of it.
Yeah, he may make you show some skin, though, to hop in on a free ride like that, though. Don't think you're going to get off easy.
I ain't above it.
I'll vouch for that. He's not.
He's not, yes. It's more of like a threat.
He and I have known each other for a long time.
Yeah, if you don't let me in your airplane, take me for a ride, I'm going to expose myself to you.
Yeah,
that is good motivation right there. Yes, indeed. But you know, it's exciting. I mean, I almost feel like I'm part of your team because I've been following this for so long. And I bet I'm not the only friend you have that is egging you on a little bit to finish this project up, because it'll be quite an accomplishment once you do, right?
Well, you know, we had a little hiatus where we didn't do anything on it for several years, and I got tired of people asking, oh, how's your plane coming, and saying, well, we haven't done anything since the last time I saw you, Sun and Fun. So, you know, this year we made rather significant advances. You know, we had some health issues with Smokey and
right.
No, and my dad passing away and stuff like that, and so we had some speed bumps there, but we're steaming right along right now.
Yeah, in the home stretch, and maybe you'll be flying it into AirVenture. Is that potentially a plan?
That is a goal. I don't know that it is a plan.
Right.
But,
well, there you go.
But at this point, it is but a goal.
All right. Well, that sounds like a noble goal for sure.
Yeah.
I bet you can pull it off. I mean, all those pictures I've been seeing, it looks like it's almost done to me. I mean, you guys.
Yeah, well, it doesn't look like it right now. Smokey is up to her elbows in fiberglass dust. She's a heck of a sander. That ain't for me. I don't care for it, but she does a good job with it.
Okay.
I don't have the patience.
All right. Well, you're a good team, sounds like to me.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are.
Yes. God bless them, too. That is awesome. Well, thanks for the update, Jim. We're going to let you go, get back to working on your airplane, and then we'll see you at Sun and Fun in Lakeland in a few weeks.
I will look forward to it, and I'll probably see you for real.
Absolutely. Sounds good. We got more coming up on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
All right.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I was the youngest pilot in Pan Am history. When I was 4, the pilot let me ride in the cockpit and fly the plane with him. And I was 4, and I was great. And I would have landed it, but my dad wanted us to go back to our seats.
Airplanes!
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith, Captain Dennis. We got a three-man crew located in different areas of the U.S. today. I'm in Orlando, Dennis in Minnesota, and Keith is in Wisconsin, munching down on cheese curds. Do you got the fried ones or the squishy ones, Keith?
Whatever. I have the squishy ones.
They're healthier.
The ones that squeak when you chew them.
Yeah, the squeaky ones, right. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, we actually just got a place in it here in Orlando that's selling those right here by the studio, and I got them, and I was like, oh my gosh, these are these Wisconsin cheese curds, and I ate one, and I was like, this is why I don't eat these when I go to Wisconsin. But
are they the same?
They're fried cheese. I mean, you know, so I don't know. Well, what else is there to it?
Sometimes people try and, you know, restaurants try and imitate those things, but I don't know. The ones that I get at the airports out here.
Right.
Pretty good.
Well, they did, well, these the, ones didn't squeak, so I'm guessing
the fried ones aren't supposed to squeak. They're supposed to be melty and gooey like a small cheese stick.
Well, they were, you know, gooey for sure. But, you know, each one you take, it's like, yep, 20 number pop on the cholesterol. There's 20, there's 40. Yeah, it was just like, you know. But anyway, they were tasty. And it's, you know, it's not really my cup of tea kind of thing. But, hey, if I'm in Wisconsin, I have to eat them. I think it's a law, you know.
Beer, cheese, and bratwurst. That's the three food groups.
You know, so, but it's expanding. It's even down here in Florida now, so go figure. Anyway, other than digestive stuff that we wanted to share with everyone, we do have some interesting news and information in the aviation world that we got to navigate through today. And the first story we're going to get into here involves the Grand Canyon, which I was planning on my last trip to Vegas to do a really cool helicopter excursion from Vegas through the Grand Canyon. This was going to be one of these once in a lifetime things. I think I talked about it on the air, but we ended up bailing out at the last minute due to some scheduling issues. And when I look back on it, I was kind of bummed at the time, but now I'm not so sure I didn't make the right decision, because there's a story out this week that the FAA has put out some new charts. And, I mean, that comes from the FAA, right? The aeronautical charts? Does that come through?
That's right from the charting office, yeah.
Right. So, and it says, the first new edition of the Grand Canyon aeronautical chart since 2001 will take effect here at the end of the month. And from here on out, revisions will take place every 6 months. So the charts that they were using for the Grand Canyon and the flight that I was going to take when I was there in Vegas were literally like, 18 years old. And I'm like, what?
You don't trust 18-year-olds?
How much has the Grand Canyon changed in 18 years?
The rocks are still in the same place.
Erosion. Hello. Global warming could have caused a deeper hole, or I don't know. I mean,
so they don't go down. So if the hole gets deeper, who cares?
Well,
I got more gliding distance for your engine out, you know?
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. But you would think that it would be,
now the donkeys just got further to go.
True. That is true. But we were taking a helicopter. We've been much more comfortable ride.
But I mean, you're right to be concerned. I mean, there are some disconnects. With the chart being that old, things have changed. You know, airports that are on that chart, some of them have closed. Some of the information has changed. There's been a consolidation of the flight service station since then. So the notes on the chart that say, you know, contact the nearest flight service station for additional information, well, that's not correct anymore. So it's things like that that at least they're going to bring it into alignment with the Las Vegas sectional, because the Grand Canyon area has its own overlay map, basically, that's in addition to and more detailed than just the regular sectionals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you're saying, Keith, you don't think that was such a big deal, even though you're kind of kidding, but you're serious too?
Well, the Grand Canyon itself hasn't really changed much.
Right.
But, you know, the concern would be the airports and the things that Dennis has just mentioned.
So if something went wrong and you had to refer to your charts for, oh, gosh, where am I going to land or who am I going to reach out to? That information would be on the chart, and it could have been outdated if something like that would have happened, maybe, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So it's not necessarily the topical, you know, or the geographic area or on, you know, outlined on the map. That probably hadn't changed much.
The Understood. Rocks didn't move.
What's that, Dennis?
The rocks didn't move.
Well, they do sometimes. You know, but yeah, if you're like expecting to, you know, land on an FBO somewhere around in the Grand Canyon, you land is like, hey, we're at a ghost Western ghost town. Well, hey, this was
there's a problem if you're landing on an FBO.
Well,
you're supposed to land on the runway.
Well, there's a helicopter; they can land anywhere, right?
You still shouldn't land on the FBO.
Well, okay, maybe not, but you know what I'm saying, kind of halfway. But it's good they're going
to... With you, we always have to check.
Well, that's just the role I play. You know, I do all the things that you're not supposed to. And I'm, you know, and I'm just, I'm trying to be every man. So work with me here, guys. Yeah.
Okay. Fine. We'll
fine.
Work with you.
Fine. Okay. But
we've
it's a good
move. Trying
to
work with them. It's a struggle.
You would agree this is a good plan to, for them to update these sectionals though, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So we're all behind it. And now, you know, they'll have the latest charts and stuff. And if you want to do one of those trips, you know, they do this stuff every day where they're flying into the Grand Canyon and stuff. So all these operations that are doing that probably have a pretty good safety network built into the routes that they're running every day with all the tourists that do that type of stuff. So we will
see. The concern would be the yahoos like me that haven't done it before and are looking to that looking to that chart for proper information and
yeah.
don't realize that some of it isn't up to date. Or if you're looking at the sectional and then looking at the Grand Canyon area chart, like, which is right? What's going on here? There's a disconnect. You know,
well,
it's confusing.
You know, that would be a good question, I guess. You know, on something like that, if you're going to fly your Mooney into the Grand Canyon, can you do that? I mean, are there like private runways or public runways in the Grand Canyon? Or would it need to be like a Cub and you just have to make sure it was a place where you could land and not in a national park?
I think you're
going
to have more problems if you're going to try to go fly a Cub in there and just go land on a sandbar. That's a national park.
Right.
Now, if you're landing at one of the published airports, it's a lot less of a concern because they do allow transit to and from those airports, but you have to adhere to the special flight rules and stay above certain altitudes and, you know, things like that so that you're not interfering with the pristine wilderness and, you know, causing stress to the wildlife and things like that.
But there are some public airports that you could land inside the Grand Canyon like that?
Not inside.
The airports aren't inside the Grand Canyon itself, but like Keith said, they're near it or you have access to it and you can fly over it.
Okay. Maybe just flying over would pretty much get the job done. All right, we got more coming up on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith and Dennis, rounding out the crew. All right, so another little news nugget to share with you is these air taxis are coming, but it looks like... I don't know if they say this will be the first place to actually get some, but they're putting it out there like it might be, and that would be in Germany. Is that right, Dennis?
Yeah, at the Frankfurt Airport, they're working with the company Volocopter. These are the ones that they've been testing in Dubai, and they're looking at using them to transport you from the parking area to the terminal.
Yeah, so now they've been
the annoying part of the parking ride has always been the shuttle buses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now you can have a little self-piloted drone pick you up outside your car and drop you right off at the terminal building.
Well, there you go. I mean, Dubai is where they've been testing them, and maybe they'll have it as like a Disney ride that you can do there in Dubai, maybe. But they're talking about using this in a practical situation to get people from their cars to the terminal. But these Volocopters, and Keith, I don't know if you've seen the picture of this thing. I know we've talked about it before. These are only two-seaters. It's basically a drone with two seats under it. In theory, it was like, okay, that could get, you know, a person or a couple people from point A to point B, but it's only a two-seater. Where are your bags supposed to go? And or maybe you're supposed to just hold them along the side of you. You're not going to move a lot of people at once. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem that efficient. But I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. It doesn't seem like it, but I'm sure that once they get this thing going, they're probably going to come up with something else that will, I don't know.
Carry more folk.
They're doing all kinds of stuff with these things, and I think it's probably going to work.
Mm.
Well, and remember, the first one that we saw is the two-seater, but, you know, we don't know. They probably have a four-seater in. Maybe they've got one with bigger engines and a little cargo pod underneath that you can just throw your bag into.
Well, it'll be a parade of these things, so they'll be like, you know, it'll be like a roller coaster.
I'll get the next one.
Yeah, And you just have to hop on, you know, like a roller coaster ride, you know, like a people mover kind of deal. Through the sky. Maybe that's how they'll do it. Who knows? But it does sound pretty cool.
It sure beats the traffic around the airport, that's for sure. There's no question about it.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Can I let you in a little secret?
A secret? Just you and me? Sorry, that had to come out. Go on.
I'm not going golfing. I'm taking my first flying lessons today. I always dreamed of being a pilot.
Oh, Jay, that's fantastic. And I totally get it. I had a crush on the pilot who flew the crop duster back home. He had big, broad shoulders and a deep, husky voice that, in retrospect, could have been pesticide-related.
Can you promise me a sky that's trouble-free and clear, so it's safe for me to fly?
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Keith and Dennis rounding out the crew today. All right, so last week, you know, we had that story about how the naked lady closed down the airport in South Carolina. And the stories just keep on coming. Thank God. Well, I don't know if I was going to say she didn't really set a trend, unfortunately, for those guys that enjoy that kind of thing. But we have some other stories that are kind of in line with that, kind of segue quite well from, you know, a naked lady closing down an airport. And this time it's a lady on a plane who, what was it? The flight attendant didn't like what she was wearing. Is that what it was, Dennis?
Yeah, the flight attendant told her that what she was wearing was inappropriate.
Inappropriate. So what was the victim, or well, I should, the subject of
her? I'm looking at the picture here, and I wouldn't even have batted an eye at it, but she's wearing, you know, a crop top. So she's got, what, a little 3-inch band of skin showing above her skirt and below her shirt. Not unusual. Heck, Keith, I bet you see that right now walking the streets in Milwaukee.
Well, not at this
but
time
it's
of
beer
year.
Bellies hanging out.
Well, well, that would be the case, but not today. It's a little too chilly up here for that.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying. I mean, it's
yes.
Very minor. I mean, I don't really consider that inappropriate, although personally on an airplane, I like to dress up and cover up because it's cold. And, you know, if you get it, you know, if something were to happen, a little extra protection, you know.
Right. Okay. But this is this a young lady, an older lady?
She appears to be a younger lady from Australia. She was apparently going to visit her mom.
Uh-huh. And so she is just working what her mama gave her kind of deal and just showing a little midsection kind of thing. And the flight attendant said, no, I don't think so. Kind of like that.
Yeah, I think so. I think maybe the flight attendant was just a little bit old school.
Well, that's unfortunate. Now, see, I could understand if it would have been somebody like Keith, you know, wearing a crop top. Then, I mean, heck, I would be right there with her going, please make him put on something. Cover up, for God's sakes. But, you know, if it's something just somebody's comfortable in, and I don't know, maybe if other people were complaining or something. I'll tell you, this kind of hits a little close to home. I have traveled with some people before. I wasn't on this particular flight, but I met them later in the day on a connecting flight.
And they were complaining about you?
No, they got complained about. And they were really upset that the airline attendants were giving them grief about, well, in this case, it was about a hat she was wearing. And they didn't like what it said on the hat.
What, did it block her view out the front window?
No, and it wasn't a MAGA hat or anything like that. It wasn't a political statement, but it was let's say it was colorful language, okay? It wasn't obscene, but was it a little bit on the crazy side? Yeah. Was she flying to Las Vegas? Yes.
Well, then all bets are off at
exactly
that point.
You know, so you would think some of that stuff would, you know, kind of goes with the territory, but they gave her some grief and told her she had to take her hat off. they did not appreciate it, and they felt it was offensive to other people on the plane, and she was furious. Is that how typical is that, Keith? That's not very typical, is it? You run in those circles as being a commercial airline pilot and stuff.
Well, you have to be. The airlines have to look at it to the point where you've got a lot of families getting on board.
Sure.
And you get little children and things like that. So, you know, what you do out on the street, nobody can really do. But, you know, when you get into a small, confined space, you know, do you really have to wear that? So the airlines have to look at it and go, okay, we're going to get in trouble if we don't say something, and they're going to get in trouble if they do say something.
True.
You know, because people are going to say, you know, hey, why does my kid have to look at this?
Why is your kid not looking at their handheld device? Because most of them don't even bother to look up anymore.
Well, hey, if your kid was, in the 10 to 15 range, sees the girl with the, you know, crop top, that might be an advantage. You hear what I'm saying? I'd get them focused off of, off the phone.
Yeah, but what's on the other girl's hat that you were talking about, you know?
Yeah, well, it was just one of those crazy sayings. It wasn't obscene, but it was colorful, to say the least. And, you see all the stories online and all the videos, you know, like the people that are, you know, clipping their, you know, toenails in their seat of the airplane.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff is insanity to me. And I would like to see a crackdown of that. By the way, would that be, fall under that code of conduct for the airlines? Like, if they saw you doing that, would they say, sir, could you please not clip your toenails there in your chair? I mean, how would that? They can say that.
Most of the time, the flight attendants are going to say that.
Like, if you're not wearing socks, that kind of deal? Like, why are you barefoot kind of deal? Can they say?
No, they're not going to say anything about that. And, today there's a lot of people that do that. If they really knew what the airplanes were like, I'm not sure they would. But a lot of people wear sandals and kick their sandals off as soon as they get on the airplane.
Yeah, barefoot. I mean, that's one of the reasons why, you know, they probably are as funky as you kind of inferred, I think. That would be one reason. But, yeah.
When people think you get sick on the airplane because of the air. It is absolutely not because of the air, because the air is recycled about every 3 minutes.
It's being flushed out.
Goes out.
Yeah. But so what are you saying? It's the germs,
the tray tables, the carpet, the seat backs, all that kind of stuff is where, you know, that people are touching and sneezing on, and, you know, people are vomiting on, and all those kinds of things. That's where the dirt is. That's where all the germs and everything else, that's where people get sick.
Wow.
And they want to travel with no clothes on and no shoes on and all those kinds of things. That's what makes people sick.
Well, when you put it like that, I'm like, hey, let's go.
Hey, now you know why I fly my own airplane.
Exactly.
Right?
There's another reason to fly private. Because you just stew in your own juices and germs.
At least I know who cleaned it last and what condition it was in.
Right. Yeah, that is disturbing. But, I know they got a tough job to manage that kind of behavior. It seems to be getting a little wilder and wilder as time goes on. You know,
and it seems like people today are trying to push the limits, you know, to see what can I get away with and what can I not get away with, kind of that shock value type thing. Because you can't infer on, or, you know, impose on anybody's rights anymore today, because we've taken this political correctness a little bit too far.
True.
In my opinion.
Understood. And plus, you know, sometimes you want to just sit back and enjoy the show. You know, as long as they're not hurting anything, if they want to parade around in a skimpy T-shirt or throw it off or something, like, where is this going to go? As long as they don't, you know, threaten anyone.
Well, they'll run out into the runway and stop the airport.
Exactly.
Go crazy.
Yeah, you don't want to stop air traffic altogether, but I don't know. It is funny, though, that only happens with the ladies, and God bless them. you know?
Well, you know, she wouldn't have to stop the runway. All she had to do was come to Orlando if she wanted to parade around in her underwear, because they had the underwear bicycle. I forget what it was. It's
all right, now, why are you not telling me about this in advance?
Something last week.
They had a bicycle race, like Queen, the Queen song.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And had a few of them fat bottom girls playing. I don't know what the hell they were doing, but hey, you know, one person's offense is another person's art, I guess. Maybe you could go with that route to cover your butt somehow, literally. Maybe? for all the spectators is what I'm trying to defend. But, you know, but it doesn't happen with the guy. What I'm saying is, like, you know, if it's a naked dude running around, it'd be like, for God's sake, take him down now.
You know, taser him.
Yeah. It wouldn't last more than a few seconds. But, you know, that's just the pigs that we are, I guess.
Isn't that lady in a mental hospital now or something?
Yeah, she was having issues. You would probably think she might if she had a tendency to want to run around naked on a runway. Probably not all there and need some help, and hopefully she's getting it now. But made for a great story, huh? Tell her grandchildren, not hers, but ours.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Where are we? Are we in LA?
No, we're in North Dakota, and only those passengers deemed fit to fly will go on to Los Angeles. You're not one of them.
Wanna fly, fly, fly on it. Can I vibe, vibe, vibe on it? Fly, 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 fly on it. Get live, yeah.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me.
On side, yeah.
Along with,
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Wasn't sure what to say after that. But Keith is with us, Captain Keith and Dennis, rounding out the crew. Yeah, you just kind of fall into that groove, you know what I'm saying? Were you feeling that, Keith? Is that your kind of groove there?
Yeah, that's definitely my groove tonight, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, I got to stay hip with the kids. And that's how we do. So, look, there's a story going on right now that once again proves that we are an easy target when it comes to, I don't know, taxing authorities. It's happening again, this time in Rhode Island. Is that right, Dennis?
Yep. It's a Green Airport in Rhode Island is running into a little bit of a spat with the local city council. Apparently, the $500,000 a year they're paying for fire and police services isn't enough, and they think that the airport should be contributing an additional $900,000.
Jeez.
To make up for the budget shortfalls in the city.
How big of an airport is that? Have you flown up there, Keith?
Which airport is it?
Green Airport in Warwick, Rhode Island.
No, I've not been there.
Yeah. I mean, because it says they already pay $500,000 in police and fire protection for the year, which seems a little high to me. That's a lot of police and fire safety. I mean, you know, budget. But the city council just decided that because they were having a tax shortfall, they informed the airport that we would like you to pay $900,000. Is that right?
Additional
on top of the $500,000 they already pay in lieu of taxes or something like that. I don't know. Some kind of crazy. And, of course, the people at the airport are like, huh? What do you mean?
Well, for the first thing they said is, you know, that's actually illegal because the FAA has rules regarding airport diversion of funds. You know, money that's taken in by the airport has to be spent for the airport. And so there's a cap to how much that they can be reimbursing the municipalities for, you know, services in kind and things like that. You know, and then the airport has gone back to the city and said, do you realize that we are generating over $5 million annually for real estate taxes on the parking ramp that's a private business, on the car rental fees, on the ticket taxes, things like that that are being billed, you know, directly from the airport. But the city council, of course, doesn't see that. They just see that, hey, there's a hole in our budget and it's an airport. They've got money.
Yeah.
They don't understand.
We got a hole that you can fill. You guys got money. You got airplanes. You're a bunch of rich guys.
But if you got airplanes, you don't have money. See?
That's what they don't understand. But we're easy targets, are we not? You see this all the time, don't you, Keith?
See it every day.
Yeah. It is. It's not reality. I mean, just because you have your own airplane doesn't mean you're filthy rich. It just means you've tied up a lot of your money into an activity that you truly love. Right, Dennis?
Exactly. You know, people think
it can be something that you really love, but it could also be a tool.
That's right.
A business tool.
True, yeah.
It probably costs less.
Don't really understand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it probably costs less than some of these contractors' pickup trucks that they have. You know,
good point.
Have you seen what a Ford F-450 goes for? You can buy a nice used Cessna for that kind of money.
Yes, it just so happens Keith has a truck right now instead of an airplane. Is that correct? Because you don't own an airplane right now.
I do have a couple airplanes, too.
Oh, okay, all right.
But I do have a truck as well, yes.
Yeah, it's worth probably just as much, if not more, at least at one point. Yeah, they can get kind of pricey. We're such easy targets, especially for people not familiar with the aviation world or what it's like to be a private pilot, especially in general aviation. Now, when you get into the, you know, corporate world, business jets and stuff like that, okay, maybe a little bit more of that might exist, but it's still, I mean, like you said, it's a lot of it's connected to what you do as part of your work, right, Keith?
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, it's frustrating to see stories like this because, you know, you just feel that the airport and the community, the aviation community, is just an easy target. We've seen this time and time again, whether it's on the federal level or the state level. But golly, every time this type of thing happens, it's usually what AOPA has to jump in there and kind of defend things or send off a, you know, like a cease and desist letter, like, hey, you're not allowed to do this. This is against FAA rules. Like, oh, what do you mean? We didn't know, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's probably what's going to happen here. You think, Dennis?
I guarantee that there's already probably a couple of different lawsuits pending and some legal briefs being generated somewhere to set these people straight.
Mm-hmm. They got to find.
This is one of the big reasons why people should join AOPA, by the way.
Absolutely. That's what they do. They defend our rights when we get into these jams. and they know what legal tack to take.
You and I individually have really no power. Somebody's just going to look at that and make that perception. Oh, you own an airplane. You're rich. You can afford it. But, you know, here in Minnesota, we're surrounded by lakes and cabins, and nobody bats an eye that somebody's got a cabin, you know, located 3 hours north of town with a boat on it that probably costs two or three times what my plane does. Nobody thinks that anything of that, but they think that you're rich because you've got an airplane.
Right.
And that's a sad perception.
And they're a politician who is part of a city council or exactly. state congress or whatever, or even on the federal level. And we see how logically they think, even on the federal level, on the news every night, how informed and educated they are when they say, well, we can just we can give this to everybody and cover this budget by just doing this to these folks right here. And they won't mind. They have enough money because they're so well-informed. We see this time and time again on the news every night. As he said, dripping with sarcasm. Did I come across sarcastic enough there, you think, guys?
I think you were just...
I don't know. Were your lips
right
moving?
Good point. And on that note, we will wrap it up for this week. Till next time, remember, there is no better high
than learning to fly.
Learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.